Toddsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
In Acts chapter 7, verse 20, we read in which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair. I've entitled this message, Beautiful to God. Now in the original, it reads, and my marginal reading in my King James Version says, fair to God, beautiful to God. I'm not real sure why it's left out in the King James. I know that Hebrews 11:23 says he was a proper child. And in Exodus chapter 2, verse 2, it says his parents saw him as a goodly child. But here it actually speaks of what God saw when he saw Moses. He was beautiful in God's sight. Now, what does that mean? Let me read you some of the other translations. Fair to God. Well-pleasing to God. Beautiful in God's eyes. No ordinary child. Beautiful in God's sight. Lovely in the sight of God. Beautiful before God. Beautiful to God. The infinite, glorious, holy God looked at Moses at his birth and he found him to be beautiful. Now, I imagine he was a beautiful baby as far as babies go, but this is not talking about physical beauty. Now, there is such a thing as physical beauty. Some people are born with physical beauty. And because of that physical beauty they're born with, they go through their life having some advantages over other people. They are the beautiful people and will be treated differently and looked upon differently because of their looks. You know, we say all men were created equal. That's not really true in the sense that some are created more intelligent than others. Some are created more beautiful than others. Some are brought into the world with better circumstances than others. All men are equally sinful. All men are equally in need of God's grace. But there are certain advantages that beauty has that gives some people an advantage. But this is not what that's talking about. As far as that goes, that beauty will depart. If you live long enough, you're going to become ugly. It's going to happen. That's what age, that's the result of sin, aging, the process of aging. You won't keep that beauty. But this is not talking about physical beauty. It's talking about spiritual beauty. That's true beauty. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, this is the kind of beauty that God saw when he saw Moses. And Moses might have been a good-looking man. I don't know. He might have been a very handsome man. I guess everybody, when they think of Moses, they think of what Charlton Heston looked like on the Ten Commandments, but I don't know what he looked like. But when God saw him, he saw one who was beautiful in his sight. Now, if you would have asked Moses, are you beautiful? You know how he would have answered? No. Moses believed himself to be a sinner. That's what he thought of himself. And that's what every beautiful person thinks of themselves. You know, I heard this statement once and I've never forgotten it. All the righteous believe themselves to be wicked. and all the wicked believe themselves to be righteous, or at least have the potential to be righteous. And that's a true statement. If you would have asked Moses, "Are you beautiful?" "No, I'm sinful." You know, in the Psalms, he said in Psalm 90, this is the only psalm we have recorded that he wrote. He wrote this psalm, and he said, "For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away, in thy wrath we spend our years as a tale that is told." That's what Moses said about himself. And in this same psalm, he said in verse 17, "And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us." Now, that is how Moses was beautiful. The beauty of God was upon him. Now, how in the world can that be? There's a hymn written by Robert Murray McShane that says, "When I stand before thy throne, dressed in beauty, not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know. Not till then how much I owe." Now, Moses was beautiful to God because he had the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. How can that be? Well, we have to begin with the Bible being the inspired Word of God, because the Bible tells how that can be. Now, let me remind you, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we could not know God. We could know some things about God. We could know that without the Bible, we could know that He's very powerful, very wise. But as to whether or not He saved sinners, whether or not He gave grace, whether or not He was merciful, whether or not He was absolutely just and would punish all sin, those are things that we cannot know apart from the Bible. The Bible tells us who God is and what He is really like. Now, from the Scriptures, we know that God is one God in three distinct persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He's not three gods, but He's one God in three distinct persons, the triune God. We couldn't figure this out on our own. We couldn't know this. This is a mystery that He has made known in the Scripture. And all three persons of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, act in the salvation of the sinner. God the Father elected a vast number of sinners before time began in Christ Jesus the Lord. He chose them to be saved. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. God the Son assumed full responsibility of the salvation of the elect. He became their surety. And when He walked upon this earth, He was made flesh. He did what He did as a representative man. He had all of the elect in Him. That's what baptism signifies. When I'm baptized, baptism by immersion, I say, when Christ lived, I lived. When He died, I died. When He was raised from the dead, I was raised from the dead. My only hope is being in Him. Now, Christ Jesus took on flesh. He kept the law of God perfectly for these people who had broken the law. He took their sin upon Himself and paid for it. Jesus paid it all the debt I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He put away the sins of everybody He died for. And in time, those people that God elected, those people that Christ died for, God the Holy Spirit comes to them and gives them life. He bursts them into the kingdom of God so that they are enabled to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and are in a continual state of repentance before God. Now, that is the work of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune God in the salvation of the sinner. Now, before creation, when there was no time, when there was no space, when all there was God. Now, do you understand what you're talking about? Somebody says, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I can't understand this. I just believe it. Before creation, all there was God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they loved one another. They worshiped one another. They rejoiced in one another. They adored one another. Oh, the fellowship in the Godhead. God the Father loves God the Son. God the Son loves God the Father. God the Son loves God the Holy Spirit. How God the Holy Spirit loves God the Father and God the Son. All there was God, and He had no needs. He didn't create men because He was lonely, because it would make somehow things better for Him. He had no needs, rejoicing in Himself. Now, I'm going to read a passage of Scripture, very mysterious, from Proverbs chapter 8. And this is Christ speaking, personified as wisdom. And He says in verse 22 of Proverbs chapter 8, I'm going to read several scriptures. If you have access to a Bible, it would be good if you could open it up and look at these verses with me. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old, before the creation. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, was I brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave to the sea His decree that the water should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by Him. As one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him. Now this speaks of the relationship of the Father and the Son before the creation of the earth. Rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, of His earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now do you hear that? Before the creation, Christ says, my delights were with the sons of men. Now something else we know from this book, before the creation, Christ had a people in Himself that are perfectly united to Him. Now once again, the only reason we know this is from Revelation, from what the book actually declares to be so. Hebrews 2:11 says both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. They're not very close, they're one. Christ has a people that have always been united to Him, that He's always known. Listen to this scripture. Jeremiah 31:3, behold, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. A love that never had a beginning. A love that was personal. A love that will never have an end. Behold, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That's what the Bible says. He said through Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Every one of those that God elected have always been in the Lord Jesus Christ, have always been known by the Lord Jesus Christ, whom He did foreknow, whom He did love beforehand, whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now all of these who were united eternally to Christ were predestinated to be perfectly conformed to His very image. Hence their beauty. The beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ is their beauty. Now these are the ones that God The Father gave as a bride to Christ before time began, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. Listen to these scriptures. These are all from John chapter 6 and chapter 10 and chapter 17. The Lord says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. This is the will of Him that sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, speaking of His sheep. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man can take them out of my Father's hand. He said in John 17, in His great high priestly prayer, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. I have manifest Thy name to the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, Thou gavest them me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, for them which Thou hast given me. Those Thou gavest me, I've kept. Father, I will that they whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am. Now, these people who before time began had their beauty given to them from the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, all of this took place before creation, the stuff I'm talking about. We just believe it because it's in the book of Revelation, the Bible, the revelation of everything. Once again, we believe this because it's revealed. That's the only reason. There's no way we could know this had not God made it known. But there was a time when there was the creation. Adam was created. And Adam is the representative of all men. You have his genes. You have his DNA. He is the created man, and all men were in him. Now, Adam walked in fellowship with God. He worshiped God. He loved God. And Adam fell. He fell. He sinned against God. God told him this was going to take place before it happened. He said in Genesis 2:17, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. He didn't say, if you eat, you'll die. He said, when you do, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Could God have prevented the fall? Of course He could. He's God. Really, even us asking that question is ridiculous. He's God. His will's always done. And the fall of Adam was all a part of God's glorious purpose. If God did it, it's right. If God decrees it, it's right, whether you and I understand it or not. And we're in a very difficult position when we stand in judgment on God and say, I don't think He should have done that, or I think He should have done it this way. What in the world do we know? God's God, and we're sinful, fallible creatures. Whatever He does is right, just, holy, and true. And the fall was good. You say, how can you say that? Because it reveals who God is. God had the fall so the cross could be. If we didn't have the cross, we wouldn't know who God is. The cross tells us who God is. It gives every one of His glorious attributes. How I love, how every believer loves the cross of Christ, because it shows the purpose of God, the sovereignty of God, the justice of God, the wisdom of God, the power of God, the holiness of God, the love of God, the mercy of God. Every attribute of God is manifest in the cross. Why? We know this much about the foundation, about what happened before time began. Christ was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This has always been God's purpose, to manifest Himself through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever God does is right, just, holy, and true. Adam fell, and all the elect were in him when he fell. No question about that. And man lost his beauty. Adam lost his beauty. He became a sinner before God. But included in his fall was the elect. Christ knew them. He never stopped loving them, even after the fall. And I'd like to read a passage of Scripture from Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. That's who he loved, the church, his bride, his body. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blame before him. Now here is how Moses and every other believer becomes beautiful to God. Christ died and put away your sin if you're a believer. That's why he died, to put away your sin. And now he has made you perfectly conformed to his image without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. You are in God's sight, if you're a believer, this is true of every believer, in God's sight, you are beautiful. And he sees things as they really are. It's not like he sees you, well, I'm going to just think they're beautiful, even though they're not. No, if Christ died for you, and if he washed you, and if he made you holy in God's sight, you are beautiful to God. God looks upon you and he finds one who is beautiful. He loves you. Now, people talk about unconditional love. There's no such thing. God doesn't have unconditional love. He loves that which is lovely. And in Christ Jesus, every believer is lovely. Every believer is actually worthy of the love of God, of the esteem of God, of the respect of God, because they're perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. As he is, so are we in this world. That's what 1 John 4:17 says, and he is utterly beautiful, utterly perfect to God. I love the Psalm 50, verse 2, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty. Now, Zion's the church. Zion's every believer. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty. The Lord God shines forth. You know, if you're a believer, you have beauty that is equal to the shining of the sun. The Lord says so in Matthew chapter 13, verse 43. He says, then shall the righteous shine as the sun before their heavenly Father. Now, I realize I think of the Mount of Transfiguration, when the Lord peeled back his humanity and we saw his deity, his face shined as the sun, his clothes started to glisten. Well, the believer, we've got this flesh that makes it to where we can't be seen as we really are. But when that flesh is taken away, when we die, we're going to shine as the sun in the kingdom of our Father. Now, I realize if you're a child of God, you don't see yourself this way. You hear it in the scriptures, you believe it, but you don't see it this way. But I want you to hear what he says to every believer. And this is in the Song of Solomon, that love letter of Christ to his church. He says, thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot in thee. Thou hast ravished me. This is Christ speaking to his church, to every individual believer. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes. My dove, let me see thy face. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Believer, he loves you in the beauty of which he has made you to be. You are beautiful to him. You are his beautiful, precious bride. And you are always, every believer, you are always on his thoughts, in his heart, and on his mind. There's never been a moment when he was not thinking of you. Now somebody says, how could that be? Because he's God. Because he's God. But there has never been a moment when you, if you're one of his, if you believe the gospel, there's never been a moment before time or in time, or when time is no more, when you are not in his heart. He said your names are engraven in the palms of his hands. I think of the great high priest who had the names of the children of Israel right on his breastplate, over his heart. We've always been on his great heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he was made poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. You think of the Father's love for you, that he spared not his own son, but delivered him up. You think of God the Holy Spirit's love for you, that he's taken permanent residence in your heart, and he will never leave. He's made you his precious bride, and just as Moses was beautiful to God, so is every believer. How beautiful? However beautiful Christ is. Oh, who could describe his beauty? That is how every believer is, because as he is, so are we in this world. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Now, you may not feel beautiful. I understand. I don't either. In the Song of Solomon, the Shulamite said, picturing the church, the bride, here was her words, I am black, but comely, beautiful. I have a nature that is completely evil. It's dark, black, and I'm beautiful. In Christ Jesus, I have the very beauty of God upon me. God looked down upon Moses, and he was beautiful to God. And that is said of every single believer. They are beautiful to God. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot, no blemish, no sin. He sees one who is spotless and perfect, his precious, holy bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Nyberg praying that God will be pleased to make himself known to you. Amen.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.